This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Massachusetts reported 45 deaths due to COVID-19 in the last 7 days of such reporting. But on CBS's 60 Minutes on Sunday, President Joe Biden said this.
The pandemic is over. We still have a problem with COVID. We're still doing a lot of work on it. But the pandemic is over.
On Monday, activists suffering from long COVID rejected that declaration outside the White House.
We're still sick.
We're still sick.
We're still fighting.
We're still fighting.
That sound from nonprofit ME Action Network, which staged the protest. So then White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre walks back Biden's comments at a press briefing the next day.
The president said, and he was very clear in his 60 Minutes interview, that, COVID remains a problem and we're fighting it.
Diving beneath the headlines of one of the biggest stories of the week, where exactly are we? Nationally, yes, but also specifically here in the Commonwealth. Joining us now, Dr. Joseph Bettencourt, Senior Vice President of Equity and Community Health at Massachusetts General Hospital and an Associate Professor of Medicine at Harvard Medical School. We also have Dr. Benjamin Linus, Professor of Medicine at Boston University's School of Medicine and Infectious Disease Specialist at Boston Medical Center. Dr. Bettencourt, welcome back.
Thank you so much. Great to be here with you.
It's great to have you. Dr. Linus, welcome back to you as well.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thank you for having me.
So, Dr. Bettencourt, when you first heard about President Biden's remarks this week on 60 Minutes, what ran through your head?
Well, you know, Tiziana, I think I try not to get caught up in the semantics. And I think sometimes, you know, we can be too hard on each other in this. What I understood clearly is that we're in a different phase of the pandemic. And this pandemic has been a pandemic of many chapters, you know, particularly going back a year and a half. And, you know, my sense, what I heard from the president was that the pandemic, the way we knew it as a kind of unmitigated, you know, killer, that has evolved, that's changed. Now, certainly, you know, he could have expressed that in a little bit different ways, but I wasn't terribly upset about it. I think, you know, we're talking about pandemic, endemic. I think what we really need to do is just continue to communicate clearly to people that this is a virus that's with us. It's here to stay. It adapts, it changes. We've had our ups and downs, but this is definitely, and no death should be acceptable, but this is something that we're managing. We have a new vaccination coming out. We have treatments. We have therapeutics. It's definitely not like it was in March of 2020 or certainly across our other surges, Delta and Omicron. I think that's the way I heard it, view it, and approach it.
Dr. Linus, same for you, or did you have a different take?
So I largely agree, but actually I have a slightly different take. My heart really sunk when I heard those words, because I think that in this case, the semantics do matter to some extent on the policy side, because I absolutely, completely agree. This pandemic is not in the same place that we were in 2020, but the pandemic's not over. Quantitatively, we haven't reached a post-pandemic phase. We're still losing 150,000 people per year in the United States. And unless we're willing to accept that number and live with it, I think we need to consider ourselves still in some phase of this pandemic. We're just lacking, I think, the vocabulary to describe the different phases and chapters. And we've gotten, you know, my heart sunk because we've gotten back to this 0-1 thinking that we're either in the pandemic, at which point I think people associate that with lockdown and masking and mandates and all the things we lived through, or we're out, which then implies we're doing nothing. But I think we have made a ton of progress. There's just no doubt that we're not in the same place that we were in 2020. But the way we got here was with the tools that we have, vaccines, testing, treatments, masking in some settings. And when we call the pandemic over, it makes it way too easy to stop funding those things on the policy level. And those are the tools that got us where we are. And my heart sunk to think that having made a little bit of progress, we're going to retreat right back to where we were. And that's the same system of sort of health insurance and not free vaccines and no free treatments that got us the disparities that we saw at the beginning of COVID. So I don't understand where the administration thinks we're heading. If we're going back to the way it was, it's going to look the way it was. And I really had some hope that perhaps we were making progress here, both with COVID and with health equity more generally. And I think this is a real mistake and a real retreat.
We're diving beneath the headlines this week on COVID-19 with Drs. Benjamin Linus and Dr. Joseph Bettencourt. Dr. Bettencourt, I'm going to play a little more sound here from President Biden on 60 Minutes on Sunday.
When I got in office, when I got elected, only 2 million people were vaccinated. They got 220 million. My point is, it takes time. We were left in a very difficult situation. It's been a very difficult time. Very difficult.
And then we talked on earlier this week, I think yesterday, with Senator Ed Markey here in Massachusetts, of course, Dr. Betancourt, who had this to say about Biden's comments.
So if you're over 65, if you're immunocompromised, if you're vulnerable, the pandemic is not over for you. Maybe there are some categories, younger people, much healthier people, that you could use that as a characterization. But it's the tale of two pandemics in a lot of ways.
And I promise there's a point to all of this. He went on to say at one point, Dr. Betancourt, that roughly 40% of the people in the hospital who have COVID in Massachusetts are boosted. Here's the reason I'm putting all of that together. Two ideas. One, yes, we've made progress, but we have questions about whether we're keeping up with that progress in the low uptake of boosters. Two, the challenges are different for different parts of our communities. And I wonder how capable we are, not because we can't do it, because it's hard to message in all the different ways that we need to, given how nuanced this has become for us as a Massachusetts community.
I agree. I mean, I think, you know, I just want to be clear that I'm in full agreement with Dr. Linus. If at any time the policies change, or, you know, this idea of we're done with the pandemic and we're taking our foot off the gas as a nation, as a healthcare system, then I'll be the first to stand up and say this is inappropriate. So, I mean, my sense is that we are, you know, tracking this. And I do agree, if you look under the numbers, it is complex. And we do have to do a lot now, especially with the new booster, to get individuals boosted. The elderly have been at particular risk, even when they're boosted. You know, there's a lot of reasons for that, scientific reasons for that. You know, with a little bit weaker immune generation, certainly boosted earlier than others, comorbid conditions. This is, you know, we're certainly in a phase where this condition, COVID, coronavirus is, and COVID is not over. However, I think we in the healthcare field can continue to message this nuance, continue to make sure that we're doing everything we can from the standpoint of equity to make sure those who are most vulnerable get what they need as soon as possible. And, you know, that's, I think, the path that we're on. And I appreciate that nuance is critical. I think the idea that we've evolved and we've developed tools and strategies and, you know, we've, I think, leveraged a lot in the equity space, certainly here in Massachusetts. We have a lot to be proud of. And so we can, I have confidence that we can, you know, message this nuance, keep our policies where they are. Our healthcare system can stay activated. And the second we drift from that, you know, I'll be the first to stand up and say this is not right.
So in just a couple of sentences, because then we have to take a little break, Dr. Linus, are we stepping up to the nuanced challenge?
I'm not sure that we are, honestly. I'm concerned because I'm seeing policy change now. I'm seeing vaccines reverting back to health insurance coverage, right? And in Massachusetts, we are fortunate to have nearly universal health insurance coverage, but that requires then the entire sort of logistics of insurance cards and bills going out. And it's a major barrier in our vulnerable populations that they can't access vaccines. So right off the bat, I think our policies are already changing, and that's why I'm disheartened.
Well, that is a thread we're going to pick back up. We're speaking with Dr. Benjamin Linus from the Boston Medical Center and Dr. Joseph Betancourt of Massachusetts General Hospital. We are diving beneath the headlines today on one of the biggest stories of the week, and that is COVID again. Still with us, Dr. Joseph Betancourt, Senior Vice President of Equity and Community Health at Massachusetts General Hospital, and Dr. Benjamin Linus, Infectious Disease Specialist at Boston Medical Center. Dr. Betancourt, we've been talking about sort of the human starting gun that President Joe Biden was on 60 Minutes when he declared the pandemic over. But there's another theme that I'd like to strike here for a minute. So here's a little bit of something else he said in that interview.
I think you'd agree that the impact on the psyche of the American people as a consequence of the pandemic is profound. Think of how that has changed everything. People's attitudes about themselves, their families, about the state of the nation, about the state of their communities.
You made a good reference, Dr. Betancourt, to the fact that this is not March of 2020, that we're in a different place with the pandemic. We're in a different place as people. Here in the Commonwealth, how do we have to change how we approach COVID 31 months later, given how COVID has changed who we are?
You know, those statements are really spot on. The impact of the pandemic, you know, certainly on mental health is well documented. We have a, you know, absolutely a crisis. I think we're seeing and learning more about long COVID and the physical manifestations of COVID. And so, you know, ultimately, I think we need to, we've been very fortunate in this state, I'll just say, by having great healthcare institutions, strong leadership at the state and city level. Of course, not, you know, perfect all the time, but if you compare us to many places, I think we've done well. And I think we need to stay at that. I know our institutions are very, very committed to staying up to date with the latest science, to making sure that we're communicating in kind of, you know, in multilingual ways and to all communities, the nuance that we're talking about. And this is an evolving issue. And I think that's what I try to share with all my patients and community members is that, you know, this changes day to day. We know what you need to do now, which is get vaccinated and boosted yet again. And, you know, we continue to encourage people to use common sense. There's no doubt that more and more of my patients are getting COVID now, and it's different, but it's still COVID. And so that even individuals who had COVID who are hospitalized for a long time who get COVID again, just the PTSD, the trauma from getting reinfected is incredibly difficult. So I think ultimately our challenge here is how we don't give up. And to Dr. Linus's point, agree fully, don't give up on the policies and practices. Stay the course and keep people informed and hopefully keep people engaged. We don't want people to just, you know, say, yes, it's quote unquote over and you know, I'm just going to go about life as usual. We're not really there.
So, Dr. Linus, I'll pick up on that thread because part of the other reason we wanted to dive into this story this week is the weak uptake on the new bivalent boosters that target the Omicron variant, which is the one that's been plaguing us substantially since the beginning of this calendar year. I remember when those who wanted vaccines, who believed in vaccines, were scrambling, waiting to get the first one. We had huge uptake, nearly 90% in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Why? This one knocks out Omicron, which is the one knocking us out. Why are we not seeing uptake? What do we have to do differently?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. I think it's one of the most important questions in public health today, and I can't pretend to know the answer. I think I agree. I've seen that. And I think to some extent it might be related to the fact that there is a bit of goalpost shifting, I believe, with our messaging around vaccines. People are used to seeing vaccines like the polio vaccine, which prevent people from getting polio. And for the most part, although polio might be making a comeback with anti-vaccine sentiment, until recently, none of us knew anyone who ever had polio. And so people assume that vaccine equals no more disease. And this vaccine is not as effective with Omicron against transmission, although it is spectacularly effective at keeping people alive. But that's a complex message. And I think people lost a little bit of their energy when they saw that they could still get COVID, even knowing that it's one of the tools that's helping people to become less sick when they have infection. So I think that might be playing a role. In addition, people are just tired. I think the president was right. The public health, the impact on public psyche and the psychological impact of this pandemic can't be overstated. I feel like I spent a lot of time in the first year and a half of the pandemic, trying to remind people to balance pandemic control against these mental health consequences. So it's absolutely true. Although I still want to maintain that balance. I think that now in some sense, the public has reverted back. We're fully focused on the mental health and forgetting that there's still a pandemic going. Again, we're losing 150,000 people every year. That's 3 to 5 times worse than a bad flu year every year. I think we're losing some sight of that because it's not 2020. And because we're not sort of at that highly traumatic level of the pandemic, it's very confusing to folks now. And so we're seeing a loss of motivation.
We're diving beneath the headlines on COVID this week with Drs. Benjamin Linus and Joseph Bettencourt. We asked Dr. Bettencourt, some of our listeners, the ones in our texting group, how COVID has changed them. And we got this voicemail from Yolette in Randolph.
The pandemic era has changed me by making me realize how lucky we are to have the people who work in the supermarkets, who take care of our elderly and sick, who had to go in and work while some of us were privileged enough to stay home.
So what Dr. Linus just said about, you know, we're tired really struck me because when I heard Yvette's voicemail, I thought that is lovely. She's focusing there. We've heard a lot of concern that we've lost that focus, in fact, that we've stopped celebrating those people who stood on the front lines because we are tired. So when you try to encourage people to hold it all in their hearts, to stand up to the fatigue and stay in community with each other, how do you do that, Dr. Bettencourt?
I think we need to continue to encourage people to understand that this has been a long road. The road is not done. It is hard. I mean, I think, you know, with the way healthcare heroes and others, essential workers, were treated, you know, 2 years ago versus a year ago or a year and a half ago, where, you know, things became quite politicized versus now. I mean, that has taken a toll. And so ultimately, this is about the onesie-twosie conversations we have with our patients, the being on the ground in the community, having clarity, to Dr. Linus's point, around what we mean when we say pandemic is over or not. You know, what are we talking about? And just encouraging people to stay the course. People are exhausted. They kind of, you know, they don't want to hear about COVID anymore. And I think more and more they're seeing their peers get COVID and just have symptoms of the flu, not acknowledging the death rate, not seeing that, you know, individuals who are older and more vulnerable are still dying. So that I think a lot of what we saw that was very visible in the past is a lot more invisible to people. And so you see even people willing to take more of a risk, or, you know, saying, well, I'll get the vaccine when I can. That sense of urgency is not there like it was. And I think it's our responsibility in the healthcare field to just, you know, do the best we can to encourage people to keep that urgency as best they can.
Dr. Linus, we brought you here as a doctor today, one who's done Ask the Doctors for us probably more times than I can count over the last couple of years. But as a person in this community, how do we reignite our connection for each other when we're so tired?
Yeah, I think that's also a really important question. I think it's being in the community. I think those are the key words. And I would encourage folks to look up, because as we talked, you know, earlier in the segment, it's not the same experience for everyone in our society. And I would say that's true in general about almost everything we do every day. And COVID, you know, we've talked about this before. COVID is just a fantastic and acute example that people can potentially recognize to see how the experience is not the same depending on what you do and who you are. And those things go along very closely with racial lines, very closely with socioeconomic status. And as the caller said, folks that are living paycheck to paycheck and working at the grocery store, they never had a lockdown period. And they've been working all the way through. So I really think it's important for people to look up, to recognize that their experience of the pandemic is only one experience of the pandemic. And I don't know how to make people do that. If I could, I think it would be a better world in general, not just for COVID. But engaging with your community broadly and looking around to see the experience of others and trying to be empathetic for how their experience may be markedly different from your own is critical, because that's the situation that we're in now. And it's largely people of privilege who are on airwaves like this saying the pandemic is over.
Yep.
And I think we have to call that out, that there's not a lot of people who lived the working class experience and the person of color experience of this pandemic who have the privilege of being on air saying the pandemic is over.
You have to say goodbye here. I'm sorry, Dr. Yeah. Linus, and that was wonderful. Dr. Benjamin Linus, Dr. Joseph Betancourt, you've been fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was great to be here.